Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is a clearinghouse day for me to do a couple of things. One is to go through a number of serious news stories in detail, some of which have not been covered by the corporate news media for obvious reasons. And then we're going to do some things for Christmas today a little bit later on in the show in regard to getting away from some of these ugly negative news stories that we unfortunately have to cover. I'm trying to focus a little bit on the events of the Christmas season as they relate to the celebration of the Word who became flesh and who dwelt among us. And we'll try to shift the focus again a little bit later on in the show to emphasize some things related to Scripture and related to Christmas experiences, both mine as well as yours. And I'm going to be reading something that I wrote about 4 years ago in regard to a dream that I had during the Christmas season when I was up in Philadelphia. It's not biblical revelation or anything of the kind, but it's kind of fun to get into the subconscious now and then and to see what that might mean for your larger psyche and spiritual condition. And I'll also be taking some callers in regard to Christmas experiences that you may have had as well. But in terms of serious news stories, we start out with one from CNN. Pentagon, militia more dangerous than al-Qaeda in Iraq. Ho, ho, ho. Shiite Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr's Mehdi army has now replaced al-Qaeda in Iraq as, quote, the most dangerous accelerant, unquote, of the sectarian violence plaguing Iraq for nearly a year, according to a Pentagon report. This is a CNN byline from Washington that I'm reading from. Attacks by Iraqi insurgents and sectarian militias jumped 22% from mid-August to mid-November, and Iraqi civilians suffered the bulk of casualties, according to the quarterly report released on Monday. The average number of attacks reported each week jumped during that period from nearly 800 to almost 1,000, the report said. The two most prominent militias, the Mehdi Army and the Badr Organization, are arm wings of Shiite political parties whose support is crucial to the government of Prime Minister Nuri al-Maliki. The Mehdi Army in particular, quote, exerts significant influence in Baghdad and the southern provinces of Iraq and on the government of Iraq, unquote, and fights periodic battles with Badr supporters, according to the report. The Badr Organization is affiliated with the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq. The Pentagon report comes as Robert Gates takes over as defense secretary to replace Donald Rumsfeld and as President Bush ponders major changes in the nearly four-year-old war. The number of attacks recorded in September and October were the highest on record, the report found, but it provided no specific figures. Nearly 70% of attacks targeted U.S. and allied troops, but, quote, the overwhelming majority of casualties were suffered by Iraqis, unquote, the report concluded. Bombings, shootings, and execution-style sectarian killings have killed thousands of Iraqis in the past 3 months. Much of the reported increase in violence was blamed on a, quote, seasonal spike, unquote, accompanying the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, U.S. commanders reported. Though the Pentagon said the violence is damaging Iraq's government and society, it discounted the U.S. debate over whether the country has descended into civil war. The situation in Iraq is far more complex than the term civil war implies, it said. Attempts to define the several and diverse sources of violence as civil war are not helpful to Iraqi efforts to arrive at political accommodations. Ho, ho, ho. However, conditions that could lead to civil war do exist, especially in and around Baghdad, and concern regarding civil war runs high among the Iraqi populace, unquote. But, quote, the Iraqi institutions of the center are holding, sure they are, guys, and members of the current government have not openly abandoned the political process, unquote. Though the joint U.S.-Iraqi operation, dubbed Operation Together Forward, led to a significant reduction of death squad activity in early phases, sectarian killings picked up in other areas, the report found. The report found the sectarian militias continue to influence the Iraqi police in Baghdad and other cities, but did not quantify the extent of that infiltration. More Orwellian newspeak from the mainstream news media and from the United States government in regard to the quagmire in Iraq. Mark Dankoff's America will return from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to look at a lot of other significant news stories today. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big-money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. As I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, I have really two things that I want to do today. I want to discuss some very significant news stories of the last day or two and to try and get at the bottom of some of the implications of this mess as you and I face it. Also wanted to shift gears at some point and actually talk about some things related to pleasant things, what I hope are pleasant things for you in regard to the consideration of the things of the Christ child during the Christmas season. Let's face it, it occurred to me last night as I was lining up a couple of additional guests for this week that are going to be talking about their books in coming days in this show, that we're coming up on New Year's Eve and Christmas, and sometimes it's important to change the focus a little bit. I think it's certainly significant that we talk about negative and ugly stories on this show because, let's face it, that's 99% of what seems to be going on in the world today. And we need to keep you informed as to what's going on in the world with the correct spin, or what we think is the correct spin, in regard to what corporate media is not telling us, in regard to the war in Iraq and the situation in Palestine, and this dreadful circumstance that seems to be getting closer and closer to conflict with the country of Iran. But it's also important to recognize that during this Christmas season, we are not yet at war, and that we pray that we will not be at war, that God will intervene in this situation. And as we think about the Christmas season, we focus upon the Holy Trinity and upon the Christ child, Jesus Christ, and hopefully in our relationships with significant family members and friends, and from time to time try to put some of this ugliness out of our minds, at least for a few days, or at least a few hours, if not a few days, as we try to get back to the things of God in the midst of the evils of our time. So as we get into news stories today, there were a couple that I mentioned yesterday that are well worth mentioning again today because we didn't really get a chance to delve into them in any detail with our guest Harry McLean here yesterday, the author of In Broad Daylight. But Robert Pastor, of course, had been quoted as saying in WorldNet Daily that the North American Union is just a crisis away. Pastor is telling us, of course, as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a leading light in the attempt to create a European-style North American Union, that he believes a new 9/11 crisis could be the catalyst to merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Many of you are familiar with this story. I'll post it later, Breaking All the Rules News, with a link, of course, to the WorldNet Daily original URL. Once again, we get into a fascinating concept, I think, as we start talking about a number of these news stories. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, where is the Constitution, and where is the Congress of the United States, and where is the news media in talking about this very significant issue? Let's face it, folks, if we go back to May of 2005, Robert Pastor was the co-chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations Task Force that produced a report entitled, quote, Toward a North American Community, unquote, which Pastor claims is the blueprint behind the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement that was declared by George Bush, Vicente Fox, and Canada's then Prime Minister Paul Martin. This whole situation has implications for you and me, folks, not simply in terms of the economy, but also in terms of the dissection of the United States as a nation state under the Constitution. We would be entering into a new phase of globalism with this treaty that would involve a merger, again, with Canada and Mexico, and a cessation of the borders of the United States as we presently know them. We would begin to see more and more of the same trend that we've already seen with NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization and so forth and so on, and that is a movement toward a world economy and a movement toward world government, where all kinds of sovereignties that the Constitution places in the hands of the Congress or in the hands of the people will suddenly be in the hands of globalist institutions that are not only nowhere mentioned in the United States Constitution, but there are specific constitutional provisions to forbid the very sort of thing that Robert Pastor is talking about here. Where is the Congress of the United States? I would suggest that you need to contact your individual congressman to find out what he or she believes about the Constitution of the United States and whether or not world government is compatible with that Constitution and compatible with the America that we believe that we have always known. But quite clearly, Jerome Corsi's story on this at WorldNet Daily is not going to go away. We're going to post it later at Breaking All the Rules News, and hopefully lots more people will read the specific text of what Corsi has said in WorldNet Daily as of yesterday, and click on some of the links that he provides in this story, and it'll take you to some of the original documents that corroborate what it is that he's talking about. But quite clearly, we're speaking about a movement toward world government. And Pastor, Robert Pastor, the Council on Foreign Relations minion at American University, who is behind all of this, one of the key players behind all of it, has affirmed that he favors globalism. Quoting Corsi's article here, I believe, Pastor says, that globalization is a net plus for the world economy, for the middle class, and for all people. Pastor hasn't been talking to the middle class of the United States lately, it seems to me, in regard to what NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization have already done to the manufacturing sector of our economy. Paul Craig Roberts has quite clearly demonstrated for those of us, including me, who are not economists, that the manufacturing economy of the United States is being systematically destroyed. We've lost 3 million additional manufacturing jobs just since the George Bush regime began. And quite clearly, we're talking about a service-based economy where the kinds of jobs that were once available to working-class, middle-class Americans are slowly but surely disappearing from the face of the earth. And we are not simply at this point talking about that very real tragedy, but the fact that we are moving headlong into a world government that is clearly unconstitutional, that is anything but the government that was envisioned by the founding fathers of the United States, and we are watching a headlong move toward a tragic set of circumstances where the United States military, increasingly it seems to me, will be used for the enforcement of the things that are decided not by the American people, but by people in places like Zurich and London and Tel Aviv and elsewhere. So let's keep an eye on that story. Robert Pastor says the merger of the United States with Mexico and Canada is just a crisis away. What is he implying, by the way, with all of that? You know, I don't really pretend to know because I don't know this guy and I've not talked to him about this particular story, but you almost get the feeling that he's wishing for a crisis or that he knows something that you and I don't know in regard to an impending crisis that may be just around the corner. Will it be something that is manufactured, something that's engineered, something that creates the very climate for what otherwise would seem to be unacceptable as far as the American people are concerned? I suggest that that's a very interesting concept and a very interesting story, and we are living quite clearly in very, very dark and very dangerous times. Here's something that I mentioned just briefly yesterday before we got on the air with Harry McLean to discuss his book In Broad Daylight. That's something that was in AlJazeera.info yesterday, talking about Hillary Clinton hiring a faith consultant. This is an ABP story, a reprint of something that Robert Maris has penned, and AlJazeera.info was kind enough to post it and to run it, not simply because the story, it seems to me, is inherently outlandish, but because AlJazeera.info, it seems to me, is editorially honest when it reports on this kind of transparent sleaze, whether it involves a Republican presidential candidate or contender or incumbent Republican president, or it involves a Democratic challenger. This kind of nonsense is quite clearly something that all of us should see through as having nothing to do with real religious faith of any kind. And I'm reminded recently of David Kuo's book. He was the fellow in the Faith-Based Initiatives Office in the White House. It was written a book detailing all of the political manipulation of the Christian religious right that was deliberately going on within the Bush administration. I would like to get Kuo on this show at some point to discuss some of these ideas and tend to discuss what he saw specifically during his time with the Faith-Based Initiatives Office. But suffice it to say that if we simply read and watch and monitor the trends with all of this thing, this sort of thing become increasingly clear. Robert Maris's story, which was originally an ABP byline, was reposted by AlJazeera.info yesterday, and it says that Hillary Clinton has deliberately targeted Christians for her potential presidential campaign. Don't talk to Vince Foster's sister, by the way, in regard to this whole thing. This is her sister-in-law, I should say. You know, you get back into the whole question of what was behind his demise in July of 1993. I remember vividly some of the reporting that was going on in LouRockwell.com at that juncture in regard to the Foster death, stuff that has subsequently appeared in Christopher Ruddy's book, The Strange Death of Vince Foster. I trust that that book is still around. I trust that some of you have read it. If you have not, I am sure that Christopher Ruddy at Newsmax could get you a copy. It gets into some very ugly details about Vince Foster's death, the White House chief legal aide and consultant who turned up at Fort Marcy Park off the George Washington Parkway in Virginia, awfully dead under very mysterious circumstances that the official story has never adequately explained. Who was behind that death? Was it a suicide? If it was a suicide, why did Foster take his life? If it was not a suicide, who else had an interest in seeing Vince Foster dead? Christopher Ruddy, I'm satisfied, has put together a compendium of data in regard to his book, The Strange Death of Vince Foster, that quite clearly demonstrates that the official story is a crock, that Vince Foster was killed by outside forces. I believe that very firmly. In regard to who was involved, that's something that still needs to be uncovered, particularly if Hillary Clinton decides to run for president. But at any rate, back to the Maris story. Following a trend of Democrats becoming more faith-friendly, Hillary Clinton has hired a Baptist faith guru for her expected 2008 presidential campaign, a fellow by the name of Burns Strider. I'll discuss that story for a little bit and also talk about Gaza and Iran in these next segments of Mark Bancroft's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartabyte know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabyte has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabyte.
in our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheetah techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking here about a series of news stories that we're going to be covering for you in the next hour or so, and then I'm going to focus a little bit on Christmas today, try to talk about some things that have nothing to do with any of this dreadful stuff that we have to cover from day to day in regard to what is happening to our economy, what's happening to our culture, what quite clearly is happening internationally, none of which seems to be going in our direction and in our favor. Does anybody have any idea as to what to do about this? I'm not a Lawrence Eagleburger fan because I know he represents the American political establishment as that relates to groups like the Council on Foreign Relations. But I think he was speaking the truth the other night on Nightline in the wake of the release of the Iraq Study Group, and he was telling Terry Moran that he had never seen a situation as bad as this one related to the Middle East and the war in Iraq, not simply in terms of the catastrophe that had been produced by that circumstance, but the way in which it had caused an unbelievable crisis of confidence in our institutions and in our political leaders. Let me tell you, these men and women have earned a crisis in confidence on our part, it seems to me, as we look at all of the things going on in our present realm, which suggest that economic and political catastrophe is just around the corner. Will Hillary Clinton have any answers to that? Will her Baptist faith guru, who is now at a United Methodist Church in Washington, Burns Strider, have any answers for that in the days ahead? Or will it be simply the flip side of what George Bush has been up to with his faith-based office and all of the other manipulations of the American religious right on the part of the Republican administration that David Kuo has talked about in his book, when it's quite clear that there's a whole agenda in Washington, D.C., in the Republican Party that is clearly not of God. What has happened in the Republican administration and in the Republican Congress when it comes to Planned Parenthood subsidies or subsidies for organizations that are involved in the gay rights movement? What has happened in the Republican Party when it comes to telling the truth about our crisis in foreign policy or telling the truth about what is really going on with our economy? Quite clearly, when it comes to the two major parties in the United States, we are talking about two sides of the counterfeit coin that are fiddling while Rome or Babylon continues to burn. Interesting story today, again, coming from WorldNet Daily, which is a neoconservative news service. So one has to read these things with some degree of discretion. But Jerome Corsi certainly has a number of things that he posts that I do agree with. And here's the latest one. The real United States shortfall is $4.6 trillion in the red. He's talking about a one-year budget deficit, folks. $4.6 trillion in the red. Taxing 100%, he says, of all wages, salaries, and corporate profits would not eliminate a deficit of this magnitude. The real 2006 federal budget deficit, according to Corsi, was $4.6 trillion, not a previously reported $248.2 billion. According to the 2006 financial report of the United States government as released by the Treasury Department Friday. Folks, as you read through this story, doesn't it ring a bell in regard to 3.5 years ago? Remember the statements made by key figures in the Bush administration, including Mr. Wolfowitz, that we could do this war in Iraq not only successfully, but that we could do it for a figure of $50 billion? Remember that one? We're now swimming around at about $500 billion, depending on whose estimates you accept. And we will, at least, according to all of the acknowledged experts in this situation, spend a minimum of $1 trillion in that disaster before it's all over with, in what up to this point looks like a losing effort. Quite a bit of difference between $50 billion for a war and $500 billion or $1 trillion or more. No one knows what the final figure of this war is going to be, but now we discover from reading Jerome Corsi's figures that our overall federal budget deficits has been monkeyed around with in a similar fashion. $248.2 billion is what was reported, but the real deficit is $4.6 trillion. What is the reason for the difference? Corsi quotes an economics man by the name of John Williams, who publishes a website entitled Shadow Government Statistics. There's a link to this at WorldNet Daily, by the way, this Shadow Government Statistics. I would really urge that you take a look at that. It's a fascinating site. I was swimming around in it a little bit at 3 o'clock this morning when I couldn't sleep. And quoting Mr. Williams here, the federal budget deficit in 2006 of $4.6 trillion is $1.1 trillion more than the 2005 federal budget deficit. The Bush administration, according to Williams, is in an untenable situation with a budget deficit this dramatic. Again, taxing 100% of all wages, salaries, and corporate profits would not eliminate a deficit of this magnitude, and cutting Social Security and Medicare spending is politically impossible. In his subscription newsletter, Williams comments that the GAAP accounting numbers reported in the 2006 Treasury report show that, quote, the actual deficit number was nearly 19 times the size of the gimmicked official deficit for 2006 of $248 billion. Total obligations were 4.2 times annual U.S. gross domestic product. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with further analysis of Jerome Corsi's story on the $4.6 trillion budget deficit for 2006. Some other political stories related to Iran and Palestine, and then we will look at Christmas. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
KUBAN Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were talking before the break about Robert Corsi's post with WorldNet Daily regarding the actual U.S. shortfall in 2006, which is not $248 billion, which is $4.6 trillion in the red. And quoting John Williams here in Corsi's article, the difference between the $248 billion official budget deficit numbers and the $4.6 trillion budget deficit reported in the 2006 financial report of the United States government is that the official budget deficit is calculated on a cash basis, where all tax receipts, including Social Security tax receipts, are used to pay government liabilities as they occur. The calculations in the 2006 financial report of the United States government are calculated on a GAAP basis, generally accepted accounting practices, that includes year-for-year changes in the net present value of unfunded liabilities and social insurance programs such as Social Security and Medicare. Under cash accounting, the government makes no provision for future Social Security and Medicare benefits in the year in which those benefits accrue. Truthfully, Williams points out, there is no Social Security lockbox. There are no funds held in reserve today for Social Security and Medicare obligations that are earned each year. It's only a matter of time until the public realizes that the government is truly bankrupt and no taxes are being held in reserve to pay in the future the Social Security and Medicare benefits taxpayers are earning today, unquote. You know, fascinating, isn't it, going back to what Larry Eagleburger was talking about the other night on Nightline in regard to a crisis of confidence in our institutions and in our political leaders. You think about it this way, folks. We're talking about somebody like Paul Wolfowitz speaking of a $50 billion war to prosecute successfully a war in Iraq, to do the occupation, to be greeted as liberators, and so forth and so on. Wrap the whole thing up for $50 billion. We're now at half a trillion and counting on that war. We are talking about casualty figures that, if the British medical journal Lancet is correct, involve 655,000 Iraqi deaths, which is at least 6.5 times, as near as I can tell, what the official American estimates are in regard to the deaths in that conflict. And these figures come from people at MIT and at Johns Hopkins University, supposedly using scientific surveys and methods of accounting, that come up with a death toll, again, that is at least 6 to 6.5 times the largest figures being produced by our government. So when you're looking at all of that related to the Iraq War and thinking that Mr. Wolfowitz is now the president of the World Bank, what is exactly going on here? How do you have this kind of performance that is this bad in public office and wind up with promotions? And certainly now when we look at Corsi's story about the $4.6 trillion figure that actually characterizes the 2006 budget deficit of the government of the United States, that it is not $248 billion but $4.6 trillion, we come full circle to Mr. Eagleburger's arguments once again, which I fully accept, that we're talking about a crisis of confidence in our government, the likes of which we have not seen in my lifetime, and I trust potentially even in yours. What is the implication of this? The implication of this is that we have leadership that is not firmly manning the tiller of state. The Republican and Democratic parties have no idea what to do about this mess that they have jointly got us into, both in regard to budget deficits, foreign trade deficits, the destruction of the manufacturing sector of our economy, and this no-win war of counterinsurgency in the Middle East. Nobody's got the answers. There is a collective responsibility on the part of major leaders in both the Republican and Democratic parties for what has happened here. The notion that this election in the first Tuesday in November is going to produce a substantive change in direction come January is inherently absurd in my view, and I think we're going to find out just how absurd that view is as we begin to move closer and closer to what looks to me to be an incredible crisis, the likes of which no one has an idea of in regard to how to solve it. Which leads us to the next interesting story today. Bob Barr. Former Republican Representative Bob Barr of Georgia has decided to abandon the Republican Party. This is a fascinating guy. I met Bob Barr some years ago at a conservative caucus meeting and seminar in Washington, D.C. that was being sponsored by Howard Phillips. Bob Barr was one of the key speakers talking at that time about all of the threats to our fundamental liberties that were going on as a result of the national security hysteria that surrounded the 9/11 crisis. Bob Barr, if you don't know who he is not only a Republican, former Republican congressman from Georgia, but he is an ex-CIA agent. He is an ex-federal prosecutor. And in recent times, he has been working as a man of the old right, largely of the old right, with the American Civil Liberties Union in regard to addressing some of the things going on with these Patriot Acts and with the NSA surveillance operations, warrantless surveillance operations, and such things as the Military Commissions Act of 2006. Now we are reading today in a UPI story by Pat Nason that Bob Barr, who once represented Georgia in Congress, has left the Republican Party to join the Libertarian Party. This was announced today by the Libertarian National Committee. Barr was a leading player in the Republican move to impeach Bill Clinton. He was immediately offered a leadership post in his new party, overseeing a region that includes Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. Announcing the switch, Barr called the Libertarian Party, quote, the party of principle. Being a member of this body is a serious and long-term commitment that I gladly accept, Bob Barr said. As importantly, I'm happy to announce that I am now a proud, card-carrying libertarian who is committed to helping elect leaders who will strive for smaller government, lower taxes, and abundant individual freedom. Barr served 8 terms in the House of Representatives from 1995 to 2003. He's a member of the board of the National Rifle Association and serves as an advisor to the American Conservative Union and the American Civil Liberties Union. He is the president of the lobbying firm Liberty Strategies. So Bob Barr has finally tanked the Republican Party and has left for the Libertarian Party. I see this as an interesting story. I don't know Bob Barr well. I've only met him on 1 or 2 occasions. But the fact of the matter is that it seems to me that once again we have another hint that there are a few folks out there with a little bit of principle who have decided that the Republican and Democratic parties are absolutely bankrupt and they're looking for an alternative. Which leads to the next question. Is the Libertarian Party a real alternative? Is the Constitution Party a real alternative? Is there some other third party out there that's about to emerge that's going to be a real alternative? You know, this is a quandary for me because I've been involved in third party politics. I left the Republican Party 10 years ago after having been a district chairman in the Republican Party in Seattle, Washington for several years, after having been a college volunteer for Ronald Reagan in the mid-1970s, and I was a delegate to a couple of Texas State Republican conventions in the 1990s that were held in Fort Worth and San Antonio, respectively. Finally decided in 1996 as a Pat Buchanan man that I had had enough. And after his endorsement of Bob Dole out in Escondido, California, just before the beginning of the Republican National Convention, I decided that it was time to ride into the sunset. That in 1996, I figured that the Republican Party had deserted me, had deserted the principles that it allegedly had stood upon, and that it was time to look for an alternative. And at that time, I chose a Howard Phillips U.S. Taxpayers Party, which is now known as the Constitution Party. That represents an interesting quandary in and of itself. I like Howard Phillips. I like some of the very fine people in the Constitution Party. But nonetheless, in the last 10 years, their top performance in a presidential election was 0.8% of the national vote, and that was in 1996, largely as a result of the disillusionment of honest, legitimate conservatives with Bob Dole and with the corporate political establishment behind the Republican Party. But things have not gone well for the Constitution Party in the years since then, and that has not necessarily been due to any specific person's fault, but nonetheless, the Constitution Party has not yet gained traction in terms of building county, precinct, county, and state organizations to complement the national organization. There have been some recent schisms in the Constitution Party, unbelievably, over the whole subject of abortion that were thought to have been settled by that party at its inception. There are a lot of questions about the Constitution Party in terms of following the path of so many third parties in American history, and that is floundering on the shoals of some personalities and side issues and so forth that do not fundamentally enable members of such parties to begin to impact the American political process in a way that builds a larger coalition for those very fine ideas. When you look at the Constitution Party, they have a very great, very fine statement of principles, which you can read about on their website. The Libertarian Party has some very fine statements of principle, too, although when you compare the Constitution and Libertarian parties, you can see some of the ideological differences as well between those two third parties. Nonetheless, there's a lot of commonality there as well. And just in terms of the whole issue of less government, accountable government, following the Constitution of the United States, getting out of debt, avoiding foreign wars that are not in the interest of the people of the United States. These are areas of commonality between the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party. Howard Phillips has gone in one direction. His friend Bob Barr has gone in another, the Libertarian Party in the case of the latter. But suffice to say that in both instances, the challenge is going to be the same. How do you build a coalition when you don't have corporate money? How do you build a coalition also suffering from a lack of corporate media coverage that can begin to compete in a political process that is obviously stacked, as far as the deck of cards is concerned, in favor of the two major parties. Millions of dollars in corporate money behind those two parties, the issue of ballot access laws that are deliberately written by the members of those two parties to ensure that it is a difficult task, an onerous task, for a third party to get on the ballot in a representative number of states without completely blowing its resources in any given year, resources that it subsequently then does not have to run an effective campaign, particularly in a presidential election cycle year. All of these things come to the fore once again with this announcement today by UPI, or by the Libertarian Party, as reported by UPI, that Bob Barr has decided to throw his hat in the ring and to join the Libertarian Party. I wish him well. I would like to see the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party begin to impact American political processes and the American public policy scene in a way that finally achieves a measure of credibility and begins to threaten in a significant way the American political establishment, the two sides of that same counterfeit coin known as the Republican and Democratic parties. I would love to see that. But it's going to take a lot of political savvy. Bob Barr, I think, has that. That may well prove to be a very significant addition to the Libertarian Party from the vantage point of an individual who is not simply ideologically committed to certain things that we agree with at the Republic Broadcasting Network and elsewhere, but a guy who knows from the inside what you've got to do to build a political party, to build a coalition, to build county and precinct and state organizations, and to build something from the ground floor up rather than from the top down. Other third parties have had problems with this. Maybe Bob Barr is going to begin to make a difference in regard to the fortunes of the Libertarian Party. That remains to be seen. But I know that in 2004, I was an informal advisor to the then candidate for President of the United States in the Constitution Party, Michael Perutka. I made certain recommendations at that time that I felt the Constitution Party needed to adhere to in regard to majoring on the majors. Yes, have the entire platform, stand on all of it with integrity, but solidify your base and solidify your identity and public proclamation around two or three key issues that will attract a wider constituency to the party and that will achieve the 2% of the national vote necessary to gain automatic ballot access in the next presidential election cycle. If that could be achieved, the Constitution Party could suddenly become a player in this mix. The other thing that I would say to the Constitution Party and its many fine members and adherents is this. In the next presidential election year, there are going to have to be certain issues that are emphasized. And again, I would say that the war and the draft and the economy and illegal immigration, that those two issues in particular need to be hit over and over and over and over again with the American working class. And at the same time, there needs to be a strategy that involves the isolating of certain key battleground states between the Republican and Democratic presidential contenders in 2008. And where it's close, in those individual states, that's where the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party or any other viable third party is going to have to stake its own claim. Go where it's close between the two major parties. Hit them where there's a significant difference between that third party and the Republicrats. Hit them hard on the war. Hit them hard on the draft. Hit them hard on the economy. Hit them hard on illegal immigration. Hit them hard on the issue of rural government. And pound them in those selected states where that brokered percentage that will vote for a third party candidate will ultimately determine the outcome between the two major party candidates. That's how the game is played. If the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party and some of the other third parties get off on these tangents again and do not build effective precinct and county and state organizations and do not isolate the most important issues on the part of the American people and do not get their candidates into the key presidential battleground states in the last month of the election, they will do exactly what they have been doing in lo these many years, and that is appealing to 1% or less than 1% of the American electorate that actually votes and having to go back to the drawing board again. But again, Bob Barr has abandoned the Republican Party. He's now joined the Libertarian Party. I am not a libertarian. My sympathies are primarily with the Constitution Party, but there are many points of commonality with the Libertarian Party that I do affirm, and I wish Bob Barr all the best, and I wish the Libertarian Party all the best in these endeavors. If they prove to be the main third-party alternative to the jokers currently running Washington, D.C., I may decide to vote again. I may give the Libertarian Party my vote in the next election, even though I have some serious, serious differences of opinion with them on some substantive public policy issues. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, back with some more political stories and eventually a look at Christmas when we return. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
A rose has long been a symbol of love and beauty. It has been immortalized in the art and literature of many cultures. It is to the flower world what gold is to the realm of precious metals. These two timeless symbols of richness and beauty have been perfectly combined in the gold rose we offer here at American Gold Rose, which has been carefully selected for beauty, preserved, and then dipped in a rich 24-karat gold for a lifetime of enjoyment. We have a large selection to choose from for your special someone. Plus, enjoy our special offer for the holiday. Order any 2 long-stem golden roses and receive a gold rose leaf free. And don't worry about wrapping. The magnificent gold roses we offer come in a beautiful gold or red presentation package. It's time for you to get a gold rose for the holiday. So just give us a call at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Or visit our site at www.americangoldrose.com. American Gold Rose, your provider for a lifetime of enjoyment.
This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. These next 10 minutes or so, of course, we'll have some frequent commercial breaks, and then I'll be covering some more news stories, finally beginning to focus upon the things of Christmas in these final days leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But suffice it to say that if you would like to support Republic Broadcasting Network, You can do so by contacting us at rbnlive.com or calling us at 1-800-724-2719. That's rbnlive.com on the web or at 1-800-724-2719. There are also a couple of things that you can obtain from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have some new RBN T-shirts that are available, both at rbnlive.com as well as notyranny.com. You can also obtain those T-shirts by calling us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. The due date for those T-shirts is Christmas. You can also, December 20th, okay? The due date for Christmas is December 20th. That's not too far away, folks. So get to those phones or get to the web and give us a jingle at either. You can also obtain Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. You can have that for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. That's, again, at rbnlive.com that you can obtain that DVD or by giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. And if sometime in the next hour you wish to call me for a chat on this show, you can give me a buzz at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Back to the news then, and we're going to be taking, again, a couple of breaks here in the next few minutes, so bear with me. A number of fascinating things are obviously occurring in this terrible struggle between Fatah and Hamas in Gaza. A number of articles that I would point you to in regard to that story, something that appeared in aljazeera.info, I believe, yesterday that's well worth taking a look at, and that is the title of an article that says, Stage Set for Palestinian Civil War, Abbas Dismisses Basic Law, Stages a Coup Against the Hamas Government, His Decree of Early Elections Rejected. That's at aljazeera.info. It's still on the front page. I'd urge you to take a look at that story because it has some very, very interesting implications for the days that are ahead. William Odom, Lieutenant General William Odom, who has already described the Iraq War as the greatest strategic military blunder in the history of the United States, posted something yesterday entitled The Six Brutal Truths About Iraq. I made reference to this before we got into our conversation yesterday with Harry McLean about his new book, In Broad Daylight. And in looking at the Odom story, which, again, I'm going to post at BATR News, there are a number of interesting things that are stated by the general in regard to six fundamental truths. When we come back, I want to take a look at one of them specifically because it has implications for whether or not your sons and daughters end up in Iran in the next year. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.